Well, we're thankful to be back, thankful for a safe trip, and good to see everybody again. I have a little thought. We need prayer this morning. The Lord would help us. But I've had something that's kind of been my heart and mind for the last little while. I'd like to read just a few verses of, to start off with, 265. It's entitled Seed Time and Harvest. But verse 1 says, as pilgrims and strangers, we journey through life, through sunshine and shadow, through calm and through strife. Another verse, second verse, says, though weary and worn and alone in your way, and storm clouds are gathering and dark as your day, weep not, toiling one, neither faint as you go. The harvest is nearing, we reap what we sow. The third verse, though life may appear as a cold, barren waste, and comes no return of the bread you have cast, continue to do loving deeds as you go. The harvest is nearing. We reap what we sow. I just thinking about the verse here, it says it's pilgrims and strangers. This isn't our home. We're just journeying through life. And it's an interesting life is an interesting journey. We don't really altogether know all that life holds for each of us. It has different things. It has its heights. It has its happy times. It has its joyous occasions. And it also has its trouble and its difficulties and disappointments, its heartaches. And I'm thinking a little bit about our emotions and our spiritual life in this journey of life. I think about I've been studying about Jesus, the great drops of blood that Jesus experienced in the garden. It's a, I don't know if I'll pronounce this right, but it's hematidrosis. Hematidrosis. I don't know if I've ever heard of that before, but that's a kind of a medical term. It said it's a condition in which capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture, causing them to exude blood, occurring under conditions of extreme physical or emotional stress, severe mental anxiety activates the sympathetic nervous system to invoke fight or flight response to such a degree as to cause hemorrhage of the vessels supplying the sweat glands. It has been suggested that acute fear and extreme stress can cause this condition. Anyway, I was thinking about our spiritual life and how it's a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey through life. And we like the mountaintop experience. We enjoy the view from the mountaintop. We enjoy the air up there. We enjoy the beauty that we find kind of depicts leaving your troubles all below. And we would like to live up there if we could. We would like to live on the mountaintop, but life has a way of bringing us back down to earth, back down. And Jesus felt stress. He felt great anxiety. He felt great trouble, great difficulty. And I think the enemy comes in when we feel those feelings. Those are human feelings. Those are human emotions. And I don't believe we'll lose those while we're here in this life. I believe we'll probably experience those things. I don't think we can get to the place where I'll never experience fear again, where I'll never have that emotion of fear to deal with. Sanctification is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't. And I wanted to share a few verses, but sanctification doesn't take away our humanity. It doesn't take away the difficulties of life, the troubles of life. And I know that the enemy likes to accuse many times, well, if you were supposed to be spiritually, then you wouldn't feel this way. Or if you were where you're supposed to be at spiritually, then you wouldn't have this difficulty or this trouble. But Jesus had said of him, he was a man of sorrow. The prophecy in Isaiah said he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And I thought about the time that, in comparison with him being in the garden and him being on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, the Mount of Transfiguration was a wonderful experience. The disciples said, it's good for us to be here. And I think we all would have felt that, and we all would have probably related to that experience. It would have been a wonderful, wonderful time, a wonderful, spectacular experience that probably embedded itself in their memory. But you know, they still had to come down off the mountain. They had to come down and live life after that. They still had to face. And if you would have asked Jesus how he was doing spiritually on the Mount of Transfiguration and in the garden, how are you doing spiritually? Well, I think he was doing just as well spiritually in the garden as he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. But sometimes our human emotions tell us, well, you're not feeling the best, or you're not feeling on fire, or you're not feeling good. But life is not always an emotional high. And I don't think we should always try to reach an emotional high. I don't think we all... I noticed in reading The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, Hannah Whittle Smith, she's commenting on people praying, and she says she calls it winding up their machine in prayer. They get more vocal and they work up more emotion and more feeling and more drama. And that's really not necessary. The Lord is there. He said, don't use vain repetitions in prayer as the heathen do, thinking that you'll be heard, you know, trying to get the Lord's attention, trying to get His help. He said He knows what you have need of. And He gave a simple prayer of how to pray. I'm just this morning the Lord is with us through all of these different... He's there in the good times. Yes, He's there. He's happy when we're happy. It makes Him... He likes to see us full of the joy of the Lord and those things. But you know, He's still there when we don't feel that joy. He's still there when we're maybe struggling with battles, trying to understand situations and trying to get bearings, spiritual bearings. The Lord is still there in those times. Wednesday evening, it was brought up in our men's group about Job, how he said he looked on this side and he looked that way and he looked before and behind and he couldn't, it's like he just couldn't touch God. He couldn't get that peace or that feeling that he wanted of closeness. Doesn't mean the Lord wasn't there. No. I'm so thankful for the story of Job. I'm thankful that it's in the Scriptures. I'm thankful that God found somebody that was willing to go through some difficulties and suffering and not throw away their confidence, but they held on to faith and integrity to God. I wanted to get this... there's a verse here in... let's see if I can... Galatians 2:11. Galatians 2:11. It says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Now this was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost, but he was still human. This was not before the day of Pentecost. This was after the day of Pentecost. And Peter felt fear. Is that something we just accept and receive into our lives? No. But he still felt it. He didn't handle it right. His fear was causing him to go against the light that he had, the truth that he had, the understanding that he had. His fear caused him to begin to withdraw, and Paul reproved him for that. So we do have to battle fear from time to time. I believe the more faith that we can have in God and trust that we can exercise in God, the less our fears will become, the greater confidence that we can have. But for us to get to a spiritual level where we never feel any fear or face any fear or experience any fear, I don't believe we'll find it in this life. I believe the Holy Spirit can give us power. And bear with me here a little bit this morning. I want to go to 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse. First John 4:18. Let's see here. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now I want to look at this scripture just a little bit. I don't believe it's saying that when we reach this perfect level of love that we're never going to have fear to deal with. But I believe what it's saying is when our fear perfect, sometimes it means mature. It means complete. A mature love is when I do feel fear and I see fear, but I trust God to help me through. I trust God and follow the path that I know that God wants me to take, the path of responsibility, the path of doing what's right, even though I feel the fear. The fear is a human emotion. And I believe we can overcome those fears the more that we trust in Him. But I believe there's going to be times that we're going to be tempted with fear. And I believe at those times the Lord wants us to be able to follow and trust Him in the path of responsibility, and the Lord will help us. Another place the psalmist said, I believe, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." In other words, he put his hope, his confidence that the Lord would carry him through and help him. Now, if our fear causes us to draw back, then from what God is desiring us to do, then it's an enemy. Fear is an enemy that we all have to face. And there's all different kinds of, one person can fear one thing, another person that doesn't have any type of effect on them, but they have some other kind of fear. We all have to face those places, but we want to trust the Lord. We want to look to Him and know that God would help us in those battles. But I believe, I wrote down, perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth succumbs to fear. He that succumbs to fear is not made perfect in love. He that yields and just allows the fear, then he needs to mature in his love for God. But I believe it's that way with all of our different emotions. I believe we're going to have joy, and I'm thankful today that the Lord is a constant companion through all of those. When we're feeling down, when we're feeling disappointed, when we're feeling troubled, the Lord wants to help us through all those times and be with us through all those times. I remember years ago hearing about a brother that was, he was real sick and he was real weak in body, and people were trying to encourage him to have faith and exercise faith and believe in faith and all those things. And then later, and he was struggling, he was weak, and his mind, his body and spirit. And finally, somebody told him and said, "You need to just rest. Quit struggling. The Lord's got a hold of you." And I believe those were the words that he needed to hear. The Lord's got a hold of you. Quit trying to struggle. And I believe today the Lord has confidence. There's another place here, it said, 2 Corinthians 7:5, it says, "Without were fightings, within were fears." You know, Paul had a lot of things to deal with in his life. He had a lot of things to go through, a lot of difficulties, and the Lord told him that at the very first, that he was going to have to suffer great things. But the Lord is through, I believe, all those in our journey. I think about also in our... I remember times, I've had times in praying and seeking the Lord and looking to God's help for victory. And I kind of had the expectation that the Lord would just... Have you ever done that? Have you ever been there? You know, there was very few times where the Lord said, you don't need to fight in this battle. It's very few in the Old Testament scriptures where He said, you won't need to fight in this battle. I've got it taken care of. Most of the time we're going to have to fight. Most of the time we're going to have to get a hold of the scripture that God inspires us with, that He gives us, a song that He gives us, and we've got to hold on to that. We've got to use it. And I think about that one that used that goat and his hand clave. He used it so much that his hand, he couldn't let go of it. He used it so much. Sometimes our battles are going to be that way. We're going to have to fight and fight and fight and hold on. But the message this morning is that the Lord is there through all of these times, through all of the good times, through all of the bad times. The Lord will be there to help us, to strengthen us. It also mentioned that Jesus said He was tempted in all points like as we are tempted, yet without sin. He felt the very things that you and I feel. He struggled with the things that you and I struggled with. And our emotions are not a correct reading of our spiritual life. They're not a correct reading of our progress with God. And we don't want to allow the enemy to take us into darkness because we're monitoring our feelings and thinking. Our feelings, you remember when, also the scripture too came to my mind about Elijah. He told him, he said, arise and eat, the journey's too great. It's too great for you. Arise and eat. And Elijah came to the point, he said, basically he said, I'm finished. Take my life, I'm done, I'm not better than my father's. And that was a difficult place for Elijah to be in. He was a man of God. He loved God. But he got tired. He got weary in his mind. He got tired. But the angel told him, he said, arise and eat. The journey is too great. The journey is too great for all of us. There's not a one of us here that the journey is not too great for within ourselves. We're going to need the Lord's help. We're going to need His blessing and His direction. And I want to share one more thought in this message, is that our failures, our failures can be the failures that we make in life, can be very devastating to us, to those around about us. Kristen showed us, we had this little documentary of what's it called? The octopus. This little octopus. This guy off the coast of Africa, he studied primitive people, he studied sea life. And there was a place where it was pretty much shielded from the ocean, but sharks could still get in there. And he was going, he was down there swimming, and he did it without a tank. He developed his lungs. He could hold his breath for I don't know how long, a long time. But he had swam down, and he videoed, he showed pictures, you could see just clear down under the water. And he saw this octopus down there, and it was a small octopus, probably about this big. With the arms extended, it may have been, it's probably a little bit longer, but it wasn't a real huge, it was a smaller octopus. But the thing shot off when he saw him. But he kept coming back. And he found his nest, he found his den. And he got close to his den and he kept coming down, and every day he would dive down. He did this for a year. Every day he would dive down. It didn't take him that long to... But he started making friends with this octopus. And one time he was down there and he dropped something. The octopus shot off and went and found another den, so he had to start all over again. He found the next den and he started winning this octopus. And he did. He won the octopus's trust. The octopus would come up to him and he'd wrap his tentacles around him, and then when the guy had to go up for air, the octopus would ride up to the top with him to get some air. And then he'd come back down. And he'd gently pull off, if he had to go, he'd gently pull off the arms of the octopus. The suction, they've got the suction things down that attach. And that octopus, he would, when a predator was after him, he would go to the floor, and anything that was on the floor, little rocks, clams, shells, anything that he could attach to, he would attach his tentacles to it, and then he would pull it up all over him. And it just looked like, almost kind of like just a rock or something that was down on the sea bottom, but that was his camouflage. He was a very intelligent creature. But one day, he saw they had tiger sharks that would come in. This tiger shark, the octopus, was fleeing for his life. This guy's got it all on his video. And he went into this crevice, and this tiger shark was able to grab one of his arms, and he just ripped it off of this octopus. And the octopus, of course, was suffering and hurting and weak, and the guy would come down, he would cut clams open and give him clams to eat in his den. But after a while, another arm, a little arm, started growing out from where that one was. And by the end, it just kept getting a little bit longer and longer and longer. And the octopus got stronger and stronger until he was out swimming and doing everything again. And it gave me a picture, you know, sometimes things happen in life that it's like it almost tears our soul out from us, our spirit. And we want at those times to we need the Lord at those times to help us. To help us recover. To help us to lift our heads up. And to help us to go on. And continue on. I think about the verse Paul mentions. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, if we try to carry those things too long, I know sometimes it's hard to let go of some of those things that have affected us very deeply. But there comes a point where we've got to let go, putting the past behind us, looking forward. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize for the prize. The Lord will give us little things. Healing may not come in a day. It may not be instantaneous healing. You know, sometimes when we lose a loved one in death, I don't know if I've heard of very many testimonies where it was just instantaneous healing and the next day everything was okay. They had to learn a new battle. They had to learn a new fight. They had to learn to do new things. And it took time. But I believe this morning the Holy Spirit is faithful to give us those little things that we can grasp, that we can hold on to, that we can cleave to, that will help us through our trouble. Through our difficulty. And the Lord will bring us out. I was reading the other day in C.W. Naylor's book, again, The Secret of the Singing Heart. It was very touching to me. You know, he battled depression. He battled discouragement for months. Months and months. Real battle. Real life. But the Lord helped him through. It wasn't just an instantaneous touch and healing and he was all changed. You read his writings, he had to learn something completely new. He had to learn how to do things that he hadn't had to do before. But over time, God blessed him and gave him victory. And he was able to write The Secret of the Singing Heart. He wrote Heart Talks. Those books have blessed me in my life so many, many times. So I want to encourage us today that the Lord is there with us through all of our troubles. I was thinking about the song this morning, came to my mind, Through It All. Through it all, I've come to learn to trust in Jesus. But those words, through it all, stand out to me because it sounds like life. Through it, through it all. Through all that life had, through all of its difficulties, we can come to learn and trust in the Lord. I can grow new arms spiritually. I can grow new things. I can adapt by the help of the Lord. I can adapt to different circumstances. Paul, one place, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. He said he learned that. And I'm thankful today that we can learn things also that God wants to teach us. So if it's not an instantaneous, the battle's gone, or my trouble's just completely over, it doesn't mean that the Lord hasn't forsaken us. It doesn't mean that we've sinned and God's not interested in us. But we have to learn how to lean more heavily on Him and how to trust Him in deeper ways. Appreciate your attention this morning.